The Time-Traveling Cat and the Roman Eagle, written by Julia Jarman and read by David Collins.
Chapter 1. Topher felt angry as he stood outside the terraced house in Linton Road. A squall of cold air shook the for sale sign. It was early September, but the sycamore trees were losing their yellow leaves. "It's not fair," he thought. "I've only just got used to thinking of this house as home." He and his dad had lived in Cambridge for less than a year. They'd lived in London before that. Then he and his dad, and Carr, of course, had moved in with Molly. Now they were on the move again, worse luck, going south this time. Molly was Topher's stepmother now, Carr, his very special cat. She was waiting for him, thank goodness. He could see her inside, looking out of the window, watching the leaves fall from the trees. No, he couldn't help smiling. She was watching him. Her mouth opened in a soundless meow. "Open the door, Topher. Come inside." That's what she was saying. He took his key from his pocket and let himself into the hall. First, she rubbed against his legs in welcome. Then she leaped up the stairs to gaze at him adoringly. The railings framed her beautiful face. What a face! What a cat! Her honey-coloured fur was flecked with black and white. Her eyes changed with the changing light. Now her shiny black pupils were rimmed with amber. On her forehead, the key-like Ankh, the Egyptian sign of life, was shiny black too. He stroked her throat and felt her purrs. "Topher, don't worry. At least I've got you, Carr. As long as you don't go away," he thought, but didn't say. He didn't want to put ideas in her head. She did go away sometimes, further than most people would believe or imagine. She was a time-travelling cat who had travelled to ancient Egypt once, and so had he. He dumped his coat and bag on the floor, but didn't pick up the post. Molly would nag, but he didn't care. Most of the letters would be from estate agents anyway. Molly had changed lately in several ways. She'd had a good effect on his dad at first, and used to be really kind and helpful. Now the two of them were impossible. All they thought of was keeping the house tidy, in case people came to see round it. And it was worse when strangers did come round. It was as if aliens had landed. Carr didn't like it either. When they arrived, she shot upstairs. When they peered into Topher's bedroom, she glared down at them from the top of the wardrobe and looked as if she'd like to drop missiles on their heads. Molly and his dad didn't care about his feelings at all. "Topher, be fair." Carr purred round his feet now and seemed to speak. Sometimes she did speak. That was another amazing thing about her. But she was being an ordinary cat now. As a shaft of sunlight filtered through the kitchen, she gave a loud meow. Then her pupils narrowed and round amber eyes blazed at him before she headed for the kitchen. He laughed at her tail held so proudly, like an exclamation mark. Her neat bum was the full stop beneath. In the kitchen, Buggins, Molly's cat, was fast asleep on a pile of newspapers by the boiler. He was so fat he couldn't leap onto the boiler, as Carr did. "Hi, Buggins." The old tabby opened one eye, but didn't stir himself till Topher had filled both dishes. Then both cats ate side by side. Buggins didn't seem to have a strong territorial instinct, or maybe he was too fat to do anything about it if he did. He'd accepted Carr's arrival without demur, and now he hardly noticed the invading house viewers. At about 6 o'clock, Chris Hope and Molly came in. Molly first, shaking rain off her long black hair. His dad was seconds later, his bald head wet and shiny. He was quite a bit older than Molly. "Hello, Topher."
"Hello, son."
Chris Hope took off his glasses to dry them. "What weather," said Molly,